And welcome to the program today on this finally Friday. It is 106 right now. And cozy, about 66 degrees outside and around the Fargo metro area. It's looking like a very nice day today, and it's going to be a nice day. And while we got a nice, very long stretch of nice weather heading our way as well, I'm meteorologist Justin Storm. I'll be running down your forecast coming up here at some point during the show. We'll leave it a mystery right now when we'll do the weather, but we'll get to it at some point. Alongside me, Ag Director Bridget Riedel. What's going on, Bridget? How are you doing today?
It's a nice day out there. It's a great day to prepare for your weekend. Personally, I've got some tailgating to take care of, so I'm looking forward to wrapping up the rest of my day with prep, you might say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be
a
good little weekend for tailgating, I'll tell you that.
I think it will be. And right now, weather looks excellent. We've got plenty of folks that are out in the field. I saw a number of pictures this morning from folks who are still working on combining. We're seeing fields turn. Corn's maturing as fast as it can, hopefully in a nice way, because we want to make sure that we don't have a lot of wet corn out there that's got to be combined later this year. And fall calving has begun, as well as we're seeing folks already starting to wean their calves off the cows and moving them back home from certain pastures, et cetera. So a lot of activity happening right now in September for many of us.
Yeah,
September is looking next week.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be fun next week with Big Iron. And September is shaping up right now to be a pretty good month. And I was actually talking with Daryl Richardson yesterday, and me and Daryl were just kind of talking about how the crops we're looking and whatnot, and the corn. And he's like, yeah, last year September kind of saved the crop, and it needs to do the same thing this year. And we both came to the agreement that September was going to for most people. So that's a good promising thing, Bridget.
It really does look that good. You know, for a while there, you'd made mention that we might see heavy rainfall in September. I'm really hoping not. If we could skip some rain. Oh, nope, you're shaking your head at me. What's going to mess me up?
Nothing right now. Next Saturday, maybe, though. Next Saturday is our next chance for rain. It's too far out to really have any realistic handle on how it's going to exactly unfold. But what it's looking like right now is throughout next week, there's going to be a decent area of low pressure or an upper level trough that's going to dip down out of the Pacific through the Pacific Northwest. And that's going to build through the western half of the U.S. and lift up into our area. And right now it looks to be kind of slowing down over our region. Again, it's too far out to have any good handle. I'm just talking about what it looks like right now. And that's going to bring us a chance for showers and storms on Saturday. And it looks like right now it may be most of the day on and off rain. So that might bring us some heavier rain totals in some spots, but let's give it another week and let's see how it unfolds over these next 5 to 7 days and take another look throughout next week on that, Bridget.
All right. That sounds like a very good plan.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was talking with my buddy yesterday. Oh, go ahead.
Working with our guest here, so pardon my delay there for just a moment.
Oh, not a problem. I kind of hit you with one as well, because I had two other conversations going on here on both my monitors about getting stuff set up for Big Iron next week. So I'm in the same exact boat. I'm having like three conversations while I'm talking at the same time. But I was talking with my buddy yesterday. It is a big week. And last night we were talking about the soybeans down in southern Minnesota near New Ulm. And he said his beans are already starting to turn. And at this point, he thinks that they're probably going to be harvesting their beans here in just a couple weeks or by the end of the month, just based on how dry, one, the air is, two, the ground down there, and three, with how much heat is going to be building in over the next, I'll say 7 to 10 days. So it's a good last burst, if you want to call it that, of some good GDUs. Did I do that right? Growing degree units?
I think you did that very right.
Look at me talking farmer.
I think, you know, your folks down in southern Minnesota, they got in a little bit earlier than we did. So it's actually pretty helpful that those guys are going to make sure that they get their combining done ahead of the game. They're maturing faster. It'll be interesting to see what that crop looks like down there, only because I have some areas when I've driven through southern Minnesota, they just had so much rainfall back in June. It was terrible. How are we going to get all of this to, level out, you might say? There's some pretty big drowned out areas, though that crop is delayed. We're just hoping for the best, that everything really does finally come together as best possible. So it's always nice that when you have a good crop, somebody else's is maybe a little bit bad, so that bumps your price. But right now we're just not seeing any activity in the market to change that price. We'll see what it does soon.
Right. And I haven't been out there in a bit, but what's our corn looking like, Bridget? I think I saw up here that we have a video coming up today or very soon. What's going on out there? You had any update on our corn? What's it looking like? Any pre-estimated yield? Actually, I don't want you to say the estimated yield over the radio. I'd want you to message me that separately.
Well, and I would like more folks to respond to what they think our corn yield is going to be. And you can do that on our Facebook page. You can also do that on our at our booth next week at Big Iron. You'll be able to stop by and drop your guesses with us or with IntelliFarm, because we've got some giveaways, whether you're going to be earning a rain gauge or a grain gauge from us. It could be either one of those things.
Both.
And how's corn maturing? You know, it's fine. I can't change it now, right? So we know that everybody wants to make sure that we get to black layer, that the corn is as mature as, at hits maturity before we have a frost. And now it's time to start drying down some of that moisture that's in the fields as well. And I don't mean soil moisture. I mean actual plant moisture.
Yeah. Well, these cool, dry nights and warm, dry days are really going to help dry out a lot of the crop out there. I know the corn is still needing some time to hit maturity for a lot of people. And me and Daryl were kind of concerned that the corn actually might start to dry out before it can even hit maturity, even if temperatures remain good. That's definitely a concern with it. But I know that we were able to get in a couple weeks earlier than most places around our area. And it's crazy. You don't really think about it. And I never have, because I've never farmed. But what a difference even just 7 days can make. I mean, here we are at the end of the year, and 7 days really looks like a huge difference between some plots.
You know, I would really like to see how our sugar beet crop turns out across the valley, because we're seeing good tons coming off of pre-pile, but what will we see for changes in sugar from the time that we do pre-pile until we go to full harvest campaign? That'll be exciting to see as well. Last year was a record. Will we do it 2 years in a row? Not so sure.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. You might. You never know until you pull that thing out of the ground. And so when they do their pre-pile, they're estimating yield and sugar content. Are they, what would be the right way to put this? Are they calculating based on what the tonnage is at pre-pile and sugar content and extrapolating that to full maturity? Or are they just taking what they have and that's what the current estimation for sugar content is going to be? Or do they extrapolate like another month onto it and they're like, well, we're at 10 right now, so we should be at 15. Just random unitless numbers there. But
that's really what we're going to do, is we're going to take what we see at pre-pile and then put some more estimates on top of it to say this is what we're going to look at for our final crop. But the final crop doesn't matter until the last truck cross the scale and dumps off at the pilers, because then we'll really know what our crop looked like.
That's right. So for around our area, what is tonnage and sugar content looking like right now through pre-pile, or are those numbers not out?
These are just numbers that I've gotten from farmers who have been doing pre-pile. This is nothing hard and fast from any of the, either of the co-ops, whether American Crystal or Mindac, but there was certainly some talk of 28 or 30 ton sugar beets, which last year we did have some 30 ton sugar beets, but we had really high sugar content. I think the sugar might be a little bit lower this year. And then also, that's not going to be across the board on that 30 tons. We've got areas that dried out in July and August. We have areas that drowned out in June. So let's just wait and see how all of those fields do mature. And early on in the season, we had some unusual insect pests that we normally don't see. Those affect sugar beets, especially in that early stage as well.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I was going to take this somewhere else. I totally just spaced on exactly what I was going to add to this. So that's a good way to kill a conversation okay. right there. Anyway, we got other fun things coming up on the program today. Well, like I said, we'll be running down the forecast. Oh, bang, right there. There it is. Before I lose it, I'm going to say what I was going to say. If you want to call into the program and add to the conversation, feel free to do so. 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line. If you want to add on to, maybe you're doing pre-pile, you're pulling some of your beets, what your content was, your tonnage, what you're estimated to be. I'm just kind of curious to what other people are looking like, whether or not you had a good year, or if weather kind of did you dirty and you were one of the unfortunate spots that missed all the rain and just kind of, just come on, hail, take my crop out, please, kind of person. I don't know. I just kind of want to hear what things are looking like across the area. So if you want to share, we can even leave you anonymous if you don't want to mention who you're at or who or where you're at. 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line. As I was saying, we got a few things we'll be doing today. JJ Alley, did I get that right? Alley is going to be joining us here in about a few minutes. He's a rodeo guy and a banker. Banking? He does banking?
Yep. He's got a background in banking, but he's also a saddlebred
combination.
Rider. Sometimes bankers tell you that it's not profitable to do rodeo. Here's a guy who's doing both. So can't hardly wait to hear how that's going.
That'll be interesting. And a couple of topics we'll try and hit on throughout the course of the hour as well is who can afford farmland? Because it seems like it just keeps on getting more and more expensive. And some farmers share lunch at South Dakota State Fair. Bridget, that one will be a fun one to get to. But first, what we need to do, just get caught up with the American Ag Network. Again, if you want to call in and add to the conversation what your crop's looking like, I don't even care if it's sugar beets, if it's corn, if it's soybeans, just what things are looking like. 701-293-9000. As I said, we'll get caught up with the ag update, and we'll be back with JJ Alley.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us. So glad that you're here this afternoon. And also, a special thank you to Pivot Bio for the work that they have done with our Here We Grow project. We are custom farming 20 acres of corn north of Glendon, Minnesota. Send us your guesses. Please join us on our Facebook page and let us know what you think our yield might be on that corn. And also to Foltz Buildings. Foltz can make your dreams come alive, whether it's with your house, your cabin, your shop, just that extra barn in the yard. Let Foltz Buildings help you make those plans come together. All right, Justin, I told you we had a guest today that's probably going to be fairly exciting, at least an adrenaline rush versus maybe who we talk to on a regular basis. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. So I want to introduce to you JJ Alley. JJ is from South Dakota. He has a background in banking. He's also a bronc rider on the rodeo circuit. So JJ, how are you and where are you this time of year?
Well, thanks for having me, first of all. And we're kind of all over the place. Three nights ago, I was in the state of Washington. Two nights ago, then I was in Idaho. Last night, I was in Fort Madison, Iowa for their rodeo. And now currently back on the road, headed back to Washington for Spokane, Washington, Saturday night. So it's all wow. all around.
Man, I thought I put miles on a vehicle.
That is not a direct route. So,
yeah.
All right. So that whole wild route that you've taken is sort of what you've always done. So as a kid growing up in South Dakota, you wanted to get into banking for the most part, right? How did all of that start, JJ?
Well, growing up in South Dakota, we farmed and ranched, always grew up being a cowboy. My dad rodeoed and did all the rodeo events, was a really good bronc rider as well, and rode bulls. And that's how I kind of got into the riding bucking horses and bulls. you know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up, and I went off into college, and I was like, man, I'd like to get into figuring out finances on a little bit better of a scale, if that makes sense. And it was kind of a stroke of luck. My sister moved down to Texas. She rodeos as well. And she's gone half the year, you know, running too. And she's currently in Puyallup, Washington, running for at that deal. But yeah, she was down there and we were training a horse. She trains and breaks horses and such too. And a banker came in and said his daughter needed a horse trained and said, hey, we have a position open at the bank here in town. And he kind of knew my background and said, would you be interested? And I was there for almost 10 years. So it was just kind of a deal where it just fell in my lap sort of deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. So maybe this is kind of an interesting conversation, but when you're on the rodeo circuit, I know this is a generalization, but cowboys are really rather infamously known for not being always great with dollars and cents. So do you find that you're better at this because you're a banking background, or do you think you ever give advice to other guys and you're like, okay, look, we got to have a talk about your finances?
Yeah, that happens all the time. I was just Saturday, I was in Ellensburg, Washington, had a friend that was like, hey, what about investing in this? And what about doing that? You know, and I've had guys, you know, hey, I'm looking at buying a house, or, you know, what about buying this van or this camper and this and that? So I've always got guys doing that. And, you know, it's kind of an unusual deal. I have 4 college degrees. I have a master's degree as well. And yeah, you don't think of a bareback rider and bull rider like myself with a brain usually. And I'm not saying that in a bad way to any of my friends, but, you know, everyone thinks we're just kind of the dumb adrenaline junkies and we kind of flame out when we're 30, 40 years old. Well, more like 30. I'm pushing closer to 40 and still rolling, but we're kind of like the running backs of football, you know. We're in and out quick and whatnot. And most of them, I will be honest, don't think about tomorrow, you know. When I was younger, I sure didn't. When I was 20, I wasn't worried about what my finances looked like when I was 40 or 60 and having a 401k and stuff like that set up. And it really took some injuries. I broke my back 1 year in Houston, down there in the short go. And, yeah, it ended up breaking, my 3rd lumbar vertebrae. It hit my spinal cord and it shut everything down. I was temporarily paralyzed for about 6 hours. And that was kind of a wake up call, like, oh, I'm not bulletproof like I thought, you know. So that's why I really wanted – I was in college at that time, but that's when I really focused on more of getting my education and getting my finances behind me and stuff.
Well, I would imagine that that's got to be a pretty horrific thing to experience, temporary paralysis, but just the thought of being paralyzed for the rest of your life. Yep. JJ, what is it about rodeo that keeps you going back after something like that?
Well, it's just in your blood. You love it. you're going to sound or think that I'm nuts and crazy, but, you know, that happened in 2005. Here we are 19 years later, and I'm still going, you know. And just about 8 weeks ago at the end of June, I was at Clear Lake, South Dakota. If you're familiar with that, they have the Crystal Springs PRCA rodeo, and it was kind of muddy there. And we've been getting a lot of rain that time of the year up here in the Dakotas and the Midwest. And horse kind of just had a little stumble to her and kind of jerked me down. And she put 2 hooves on my back and ended up breaking my back. I broke 8 ribs in multiple spots and punctured both lungs. And they life flighted me from Clear Lake to Sioux Falls. I was in the hospital for a week and I'm already back. I sat out about 5.5 weeks and came back and am rolling again.
So maybe this is a better question. What haven't you broke?
I broke my back 3 times. I've had 9 surgeries, 3 shoulder surgeries, 2 knee surgeries, a wrist surgery, 2 arm surgeries, a face surgery. I honestly can't tell you how many bones I broke. I would guess that it's probably in the range to 65 to 80, 70, somewhere in there.
Wow.
And there's times that I broke stuff that I didn't even know I broke, and you get hurt a few weeks later, and they're like, did you know this rib's broke, or did you know you have a crack here? And I was like, well, it was sore, but I kept going. You know? So,
and you still move around, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Holy moly, wow.
It's just one of those. Oh, man. You really got to love it. I'll tell you, you know, I've said this to everyone. You know, I like a challenge. I've always been that kind of guy that never really backed down from a fight or a challenge. I don't like things coming easy, I guess, because maybe growing up in my life, things didn't always come easy to me. And so when they rode, you know, load a bucking horse or a bull in a chute, that's a challenge. And I feel like we're kind of like the old gladiators of the Roman times, you know. You're playing with your life. You can die whether you're riding bucking horses. You can die whether you're riding bulls. You know, there could be an accident on the other end of the arena, someone roping or running barrels and their horse trip and fall. And
sure.
Heck, and they could die. So you're just dealing with livestock. And, you know, when you get in that chute, nothing else matters, you know, whether you've got family problems, relationship problems, which relationship problems seem to plague me. So that's a good therapy to go to the rodeos. But, you know, everything else disappears and you got to worry about focus on your battle that you're fixing to go to, you know?
Yeah, well, of course. Worst injury you've gotten, and if not that one, if any at all, from an injury like that, has there ever been one that stood out that you've questioned whether or not you'd continue at this?
Yeah, when I was in Houston and broke my back, I did not know. I was paralyzed from the waist down at the time. And when it happened, I landed on the back of my neck. It was in the bareback riding. If you've seen rodeo or familiar with bareback riding, you wedge your hand into a rigging handle that's kind of, you know, almost too small, and you roll it over with a glove in there, and you create kind of a bubble bind, and you're kind of locked in. And if you buck off away from your hand, that hand rolls over and you're hung up, you know. But if you were to what we call have a blowout, where the horse rips that bind from you, your hand blows out, and you blow out the back end of the horse. That's what happened to me at Houston. And I landed on the back of my neck. I heard my back crunch. And in my mind, I thought, oh, hell, I'm going to have to go to the chiropractor tomorrow. You know, I just popped my back. And I pushed both hands on the arena dirt to get up. And I felt the tingle go from my waist down to my toes, and it just went numb. And I don't know how to explain it. You know, I suppose people that are paralyzed know, but if you've never felt that feeling where you're telling your legs or your toes or your feet to move and they're not moving, that was one that was pretty scary, you know. And I was down there by myself. This was, you got to kind of think, 05. This was back in old flip phone time. You know, I had a cell phone. This was before the Cowboy Channel, before all these rodeos were on TV as well. And, you know, I grew up in Taber, South Dakota. Taber is about 300 people big. That you're going to think this is kind of a hell of a coincidence, but a guy that lived in Taber, his son lived in Houston, and they actually bought tickets that day just for the rodeo, did not know that I was going to ride there. And they thought, oh gosh, here's JJ Alley from Taber, South Dakota riding today. And they seen my wreck, and then they called home to my family and said, JJ's in a bad wreck. You know, he got in an ambulance ride home, or, you know, out of the arena, and we don't know, but it didn't look good. And so my family was kind of freaking out. They didn't know where I was and all that, because obviously your cell phone, all your personal belongings stay in the locker room. So, yeah, that was one. I was very blessed and thankful to come back from it. But, you know, when you're laying in the hospital and they don't know if you're fully paralyzed or just a temporary deal or what's really going on to you, have those MRIs and CAT scans, you know, you're kind of questioning not just that you may never be able to ride bucking horses or bulls again. You know, will I be able to shoot hoops in the backyard? Will I be able to go for a jog, you know, walking up and downstairs, just your normal life? So that was one that, you know, dang sure scared me, but I come out of it and went right back to it once I was healed up.
Yep, back at it again. Well, JJ, we got to take a quick moment here, get caught up with local news, but we'll come back to this conversation. Listeners, you got any questions, stories you want to share with JJ, feel free to do so. Call us, 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe line, or phone line, or studio line, whatever you want to call it. 701-293-9000. Email to the program and studio, weather or ag at flagfamily.com. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us. And one more way that you can join us will be next week at Big Iron. We'll be in West Fargo at the fairgrounds. You can stop by the Morton Building, particularly on Wednesday, September 11th from noon to 1 o'clock. I'll host a social media meetup. So if you're involved in any way with Twitter, Snapchat, X, Instagram, et cetera, and you just want TikTok and you want to stop by and say hello, and meet those who you interact with on a regular basis but don't always know their real names, well, swing on by. We'll meet you there at the Morton Building at noon. Again, that's for all of you who are involved in social media or aren't, and just follow the rest and certainly want to see who's around. Today, our guest is JJ Alley. JJ is from Taber, South Dakota. He is a banker, but he's more importantly a rodeo saddlebronc rider. And I think I got that right. Saddle bronc, bareback. You're doing bareback.
Bareback. Okay. Yeah, bareback and bulls.
So when we talk about bareback, folks are going to ask, well, what do you need? Are you bringing your own horse? I mean, we have a fair portion of our listening audience who doesn't know anything about the sport, JJ. So are you bringing a bull? Are you riding bucking stock from somebody else? What do you actually need every day when you get to a rodeo site?
So for us in the rodeo world, it's kind of divided into two sectors, you could say. There's the rough stock, and then there's the timed event. The rough stock consists of the bareback, saddle bronc, and the bull riding. Timed event would be your calf roping, steer wrestling, and team roping, barrel racing. For the rough stock cowboys that ride bears, broncs, or bulls, you know, we can take a car or whatever. We don't have to provide our own horse. There's rodeo stock contractors that bring the horses and bulls. A lot of people that aren't, you know, too savvy with rodeo or familiar, they think that we're bringing our own horse or bull to ride, you know, every weekend. And no, that's only the timed event people that are riding their own rope or barrel horse, obviously. You know, so a contractor brings in a potload of, you know, bucking horses and bulls, and they do what they call a draw, and it's supposed to be a random draw, and, you know, you get picked or drawn a bull or a horse, and, you know, you're marked and you're scored 1 to 50 as a rider and 1 to 50 as the animal. So the animal is scored and the rider is scored. And that's why, you know, obviously you couldn't bring your own, because if you had something that you knew and, you know, were good at riding, you'd bring that everywhere you went, if that makes sense. So what we consistently, you know, in the bareback riding or any of the rough stock, like I said, we can take a little car and kind of travel all across the world or, you know, a lot cheaper than someone pulling a pickup truck and a big living quarters trailer full of horses. But we just have what we call our gear bag, you know, that's full of either our bareback rigging or a saddle bronc saddle or a bull rope, you know, depending on which that you ride.
So how do you choose every day if you're going to ride bulls or bareback? Or can you do both depending on where you are?
Yeah, so last night in Fort Madison, Iowa, I was in the bareback and the bull riding down there. You know, you in the PRCA, that's what I ride, is the Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association. They get a business journal out to us, and it says all the rodeos listed all across the country. And it has all the, you know, specs or info on all that rodeo, how much money's added, the dates, of course, who has the stock, so you know whose horses or whose bulls you're getting on. And, you know, me at my age, I kind of pick and choose where I want to go ride bulls. I pick and choose where I want to go ride horses. And a lot of guys do that. There's some guys that have a really good pen of bucking horses. There's some guys that have a really good pen of bucking bulls. And then there's some guys that have, you know, not saying this in a bad way or that guys are scared or something, but bulls and horses that you really don't want to get on that are either tougher to ride or just kind of gross and treacherous. And even if you do ride them, you won't be a lot of points on them. And that's kind of what we call in the business eliminators. You know, they're no fun to get on. And even when you do get them rode, you're usually not winning on. So you kind of try and duck away or stay away from those guys as stock or that particular horses or bulls, if that makes sense. But yeah, so we look at that business journal. Everyone can pick and choose where they want to go and make their runs, you know, depending on how far you want to go, how, you know, far off and how long you want to be gone. You know, some people, my sister left at the beginning of June. She has not been home yet. I left a week after her. Then I got hurt. And, you know, so I had some time off. And but now that I've come back, I've been on the road, I think, three and a half weeks and hadn't been home. So, you know, I'll tell you one thing I figured out in those 3.5 weeks, laundromats are expensive. They're much more expensive than I remembered, you know. So, but yeah, it's fun, but at the same time, you're kind of, you know, if you can catch a bed or get home, it sure is nice after you've been on the road for a few weeks.
Oh, I'm sure. And JJ, how does all of this work in the grand schemes? Say if this is like a league or whatnot. And I guess the analogy I'm going to make would be football. You know, you do all your games throughout the course of the regular season, and then based on how good your record is, you move on to a playoff and so yep. on, and eventually until you're at the final thing of the Super Bowl. Is that similar for rodeo? You go to all these different events, circuits, and places, you get points, you get scored, and then based on how well you do, you have the option to move on to, say, a higher tier and eventually make it to a finals or something?
Correct, correct. It's a lot like that. Excuse me, I grabbed a drink of water. So the way it's set up is we don't have really realistically a playoffs, you know, much like football or baseball or basketball. The way mm-hmm. it's set up is, you know, the year when the year starts to when the year ends, which it ends in Las Vegas in December at the National Finals Rodeo, which would be equivalent to our Super Bowl. And that's 10 go-rounds, 10 nights in a row there in Vegas. I think you can ride for about $28,000 a night is what go-rounds pay. And I think the average is around close to $80,000 to win that. That'd be like the highest score on 10-head or the fastest times on 10-head for the time event. But different rodeos throughout the year give out different money. And to be the world champion, it's the most money earned when the year is over, if that makes sense. So, you know, you can go like Houston, Texas. The winner at Houston gets $50,000. You know, Calgary, Alberta gets $100,000. Pinoca, Alberta, I was up there this summer. That pays around $20,000-$25,000. You know, Mitchell, South Dakota, that pays, you know, probably like $3,000. There's Burke, South Dakota that, you know, might pay close to $1,000. So there's rodeos where you can win $1,000 to several thousand, depending on where you're at. But as far as kind of like you were saying, a playoff or getting into bigger stuff. So if you were just starting out in the PRCA and you didn't have a dime one and what we would call qualifications, you had zero qualifications, you wouldn't be able to get into all the big rodeos like, say, Cheyenne, Fort Worth, Denver, Houston, all that sort of stuff. Those are usually set up for the top 30 guys to top 50 guys in the world. And so you kind of, as a younger man, you kind of got to cut your teeth at those little rodeos, if that makes sense, win mm-hmm. your money and get up in the standings. Then you can go to the bigger rodeos where you can win bigger money. But as far as, you know, when it comes down to dollars and cents, yeah, our point system is off money won. So, you know, if I was in Fort Madison, Iowa last night and I won 10,000, that'd be 10,000 added to my standings, you know, trying to get closer to a world title or making the NFR, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Thanks for explaining that.
Mm-hmm. So, JJ, kind of a last question here as we wrap up. When you mentioned earlier that sometimes there's rough stock that you don't want, they're not great, they're rank, or they're an eliminator, as you said, they're not wonderful for the ride. Do you have preferred stock contractors that maybe you look at a rodeo and say, I really like the rough stock they're bringing, or I don't, and I might not go to that rodeo simply based on the stock contractor?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, there's a little bit of both of that. You know, I've had contractors where I'm like, man, he's got a great pen of horses or he's got a great pen of bulls, and it doesn't matter what you draw there, you're going to probably want to go. There's contractors on the flip side of the spectrum that, you know, are known for having a bunch of miserable, big arm yanking, what I would call pieces of junk that, you know, sore you up and beat you up that you can't win on, or might throw you for a front flip and you may not want to go get on them. And then there's some guys that you're kind of like, well, he's got some good ones and he's got some bad ones, you know. But the good thing with pro rodeo is, you know, say I'm entered in Spokane, Washington here on Saturday. I knew what I was drawn and having to get on in Spokane last Saturday. So I knew a week ahead of time if I had something good or something bad. And in the PRCA, obviously everything now is, we live in an electronic world. They have a website and you can go check your stock stats. So you can see who's all got on that bucking horse or that bull. You can see what they marked the bucking horse or the bull and see what they marked the riders on them. So you can look at that and be like, oh, wow, it also shows the buck off percentage. You know, if you're getting on a bull that has never been ridden or has a 90% buck off ratio or something, or same way in the horses. And then along with that, you know, like I said, you see who rode him. Most all of us know each other in pro rodeo or have each other's cell phones. So you can call and say, hey, send me a video of that horse or bull you got on last week. I want to see if he looks all right. Then,
you're scouting like the football teams are. You're sending video footage of each other.
And then if, like I said, if you're in Fort Madison, Iowa, like I was last night, and it's 21 and a half hour drive to Spokane, Washington, if I have a hunk of junk, I'm not going to waste buying a plane ticket or gas going out there. You can do what they call a turnout, and you have to pay a $25 fine plus your entry fees to turn out. So, I mean, it can get expensive, but at the same time, you may not spend 2 or 3 days getting somewhere in airfare or gas. But then if you, like I said, for me, I have a good one drawn in Spokane. So I'm kind of like, well, now I kind of got to go, you know? So.
Well, very JJ, all we can.
Cool.
We got to say we're going to wish you the best of luck on that trip out there and on your ride that's coming up. But thanks for joining us today and taking a little time just to explain, because again, like I said, we have a fair amount of listeners who just don't have that background, and you put it very common sense for everybody. So thank you for the time.
Yeah, appreciate it, JJ.
This was awesome. Thank you guys for having me, and I had a great time too.
Oh, before we let you go, JJ, I don't know if you post any social media content of yourself out there. If you want to plug that, feel free to do that.
Yeah, I am. Like I said, I'm older and I'm a little bit more old, so I'm not like 15, 20-year-old guys trying to do this that are on every deal. But I am on Facebook. You can just look me up, JJ Alley. It'll say PRCA Rodeo Cowboy. I am on Snapchat and Instagram as well, so all just under my name. So, yeah, like I said, that's one way to kind of to follow and see rides and videos and whatnot and go from there.
Right on. All right. Well, appreciate it, JJ. Again, good luck. Listeners, we got a check on the forecast coming up next. We still got an ag topic as well. And if you want to sneak into our last couple minutes of the show, feel free to do so. 701-293-9000. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Now, welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 156. on this Friday afternoon. And we'll run down your forecast coming up here in just a moment. Looking like a beautiful one over the next 7 days. If you want to ask a question real quick, feel free to do so. 701-293-9000. Before we get to the weather, Bridget, let's wrap up our ag conversation for the day. Okay. And let's touch on the farmers share lunch at South Dakota State Fair. What was going on with that?
All right. So this happened over the weekend down in Huron at the South Dakota State Fair. South Dakota Farmers Union wanted to make sure that folks could buy lunch at the equivalent amount of dollars and cents that it cost for the farmers' ingredients in that lunch. So they did a pulled pork lunch with baked beans, chips, etc. And what a farmer would earn off that entire plate of food was 48 cents. So that's what fairgoers paid, was 48 cents for the plate of food. They only did that for the first 1,000 folks who fed there. After that, the price went back up to its regular price, and all proceeds have been donated to the Make-A-Wish Foundation to help out for that charity. So interesting to note, an entire plate of food and the farmer's share of it is 48 cents.
Yeah, that's you don't really think about how it all trickles back down, but that's a great way of showing how it does.
It's a pretty good idea of just getting people to understand. It's a great visual of helping us understand how much actually happens for the farmer. Another example of farmers helping out in Clay County, Clay and Wilkin County, the Corn and Soybean Farmer Associations there, they have given Goodyear Wrangler tires that are based on soybeans to the Farm Rescue Group. That's new tires for Farm Rescue's fleet pickups. So thanks to Clay and Wilkin counties for doing that.
Right on, and here's your lightning round weather forecast for the weekend. Highs near 70 today, sunny. North winds 5 to 15. Light southwest winds tomorrow, sunny. Low to mid-70s. Close to 80 on Sunday and mid-80s through all of next week. Partly cloudy to mainly sunny skies throughout most of the week as well, with very, very little chances for any rain till Saturday. That'll wrap it up for us. Everyone have a great weekend. All right, see you later. Bye.